Amen. Good morning, Victory Church. Love you all so much. Really, how are you all doing this morning? Give Jesus a bigger hand clap than you gave me, please. Thank you, Lord. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. And really, that's what this whole series is about. If we're going to honor people and the institutions in this world and give honor where honor is really due, we have to first honor God in our hearts. And it starts in the heart. So that's why I ask you all to just give God praise. Always, when you have an opportunity to praise God, just give him your all. Just give him your all. Mean it from your heart. And really, that will be the preface for this entire message is really, it always starts in the heart. I'll give you some practical how-tos today, but it has to originate from the heart. It's a heart of love for God and a love for God's creation. It's so important. First off, I want to honor Pastor Bill because he's an amazing senior pastor. He's done so much in my life. He's a great mentor. Pastor Bill, I really love you so much. And I don't say it enough to you directly to your face. I don't know. It feels like I don't. It feels like I can't say it enough. And that's why I'm always intentional in coming up here and honoring you first before I give a message. Would you give him a hand, please, because he's so worthy. And of course, Lelaine, my lovely wife, she's such a helpmate. I love you so much, too. And I just praise you right now, give you honor. She was helping me. I mean, all the binders wouldn't have happened without her. She was the one who I was able to delegate the responsibility of ordering all of it, of putting it all together. We had a very short week in the church office because we went to Jacksonville for 3 days, honoring her father who passed away 1 year ago on Friday. So that was 3 days of seeing family, and you know, she was just a huge help because I just had a lot going on that week, not to mention traveling and all that stuff. So, Lelaine, you're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm honoring a lot of people this morning because there's a group... Jordan, are you begging? Are you like... I honor you, Jordan. Worship was awesome this morning. Worship was amazing this morning. You're doing a great job leading. What have I started? Anyways, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to honor all the dream teams this morning because all the ministry teams that make just Victory Church happen on Sunday morning and throughout the week are just amazing. You guys truly are amazing. You're a team that's making a difference in the lives of people. And we see that as evidenced through the water baptism videos, through salvations that we see. When visitors come, they feel immediately loved and accepted, not judged or criticized. And that's huge. And all the ministry teams are contributing to that. Give a hand to every Dream Team member. It's awesome. If you would, get out your sermon notes this morning. We'll get started pretty much right away. Just a quick review of what we did in week one. We learned that the last book of the Old Testament was a call for us to return to honor. It was really God saying to his people, where's the honor gone? Where's the honor due me? And it was an opportunity for us to examine our own hearts in that respect. And what we learned that honor is placing value, worth, and weight on someone or something. Value. If you honor something, you value it, you give it worth, and you recognize that there's weight to it. And really, the contrast to that is dishonor. That's to take something lightly or view it as common. All right? It's good for us to remember that. Week one was very inspirational. It was foundational. Very good. Week two was Pastor Kaivon sharing, letting us know who gets the honor. Who do we honor in this world? What does God say about that? He did an amazing job of letting us know where we're supposed to direct honor. Where does God expect us to direct honor? And what we found out is we direct honor to God and everyone. Everyone. Everyone's included in that because everyone is created in the image and likeness of God. So they're worthy of that honor. They have that weight, that value. So important, so important. And week three, Pastor Bill, again, honor him, gave a Father's Day message and tied it into the sermon series. How many of you guys were just blessed by that Father's Day message? It was so good. It was so good. Dealing with like father wounds and just no one had a perfect father. But God commands us to honor a father and mother. And really how we can be able and set free to actually obey that commandment is to be set free from father wounds, from the hurts and pains of the past. So all three of those messages, if you haven't heard them or seen them, go on the church website. There's a media tab, and you can view them or listen to them at your own leisure. I encourage you to. Today is a practical how-to. How do we honor? The first scripture that I have up at the top of your sermon notes is Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Foundational. And really, I want to encourage everyone, stir yourself up, and I want you to say it out loud with me. Not like you're at a golf course, but like you're at a football game, like a Florida football game. Say it all together with me. Ready? Go. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Amen. Amen. Honor one another above yourselves. That's the essence of honor. It truly is. Esteem others as better than yourself, another passage says. And really, we have a culture that doesn't get this at all. Doesn't get it. We have professional critics. Literally professional critics in almost every arena. And now we have social media that just makes it incredibly easy. You can comment on anything, and there's no filter. And a lot of people regret stuff that they put out there. And some people just blatantly don't regret it, and they're happy they said something kind of venomous and critical and judgmental. It just makes it so easy now in our culture to just unleash that terrible beast of dishonor. And something that, really, honestly, we have an issue in the church about it, too. Maybe not this church, hopefully. No, I think a lot of people in here understand this concept. We just want to make sure everyone catches it. That's why we're doing this series. But I was reading a Charisma article. A Charisma magazine is like a Christian magazine publication. I was reading an article online, and Lelaine read it, too. And she started reading to me some of the comments about the article. And I was appalled that there were Christians who are calling other Christians just terrible names, just bringing division to the body of Christ, to the family of God. We have to be so careful not to criticize other believers. And I think, honestly, it's people who just don't have respect and honor for everyone. If you have that respect and honor for everyone, Christians fall right into it. The family of God falls right into it. Well, we can't be divided on these issues, on anything. And really, I couldn't see anything that you could find wrong with this article. It was so good, so sound. And yet it was people, just Christians, fellow believers, attacking other believers. We can't have that. Okay, so how do we honor? Let's go. I've given you three ways that we're supposed to honor practically. Number one, prioritize it. If you're going to honor something, you prioritize it. It has priority in your life. Priority. Priority. One of the biggest culture shifts for me and marrying into a Filipino family was this deep culture of honor. Deep culture of honor. Now, I had some honor growing up and learned a little bit about it, but really, I mean, my family were like educated hicks, I guess. So it's like, what do we know about true honor? Some of these Asian cultures, we can learn something from them. Now, we don't want it to be lip service. Again, it originates from the heart. But these customs that they have, like, when I enter a room with her family, I have to go straight to her mom. I go to mommy, and I kiss her on the cheek. I say, good morning, mommy. How you doing? It's good to see you, mommy. Before anyone else, I go to the eldest and give honor. And then go down the line and give honor. The oldest daughter, the middle child, and then Lelaine. I want to go straight to Lelaine because she's my wife. Give her a kiss, but I've learned, no, go straight to mommy. Go straight to her, give her that honor. That's really what we need to do. And we have this culture of honor for our elderly, for the people who have the most wisdom in this world, really, who've lived the longest and really know the most, and have so much wisdom to impart. So God commands us to honor them. We need to have that in our hearts. We do. I was reminded of, even just last week, I mean, this week I was just really tested in all these areas of honor. And I was, last Sunday, we set up for a growth track class after church. We set up lunch. And I realized we had more people than I had expected who were coming. And I realized I need to go to Pearls. I need to get 2 pounds of pork, barbecue pork. How many of you guys like Pearls? That's so good. So if you guys know me, I'm very task-focused. So when I'm on a mission, I'm really like, okay, Lord, let me get it done quick. I got to get back, get it all done. So I was pulling into the parking lot of Pearls. And I was like, Lord, please don't let there be a long line. I walked in. I didn't see any long line. I was like, oh, God. I can just walk right up to the front. And just as I was about to get to the counter to order, an elderly couple comes kind of moseying on right kind of from the side and kind of not cut me off because, you know, how can they do that? They're not moving that fast. But, I mean, it was just the perfect timing to where I'm like, man, they're in front of me. But they're not. They're kind of standing in front of the menu and just going, what do you want? I don't know. What do you want? Well, I was thinking maybe we could get this. And I just could tell immediately this was a couple who's just enjoying their Sunday together, just having a relaxed time. They're not in a hurry at all. So different from where I was at. I was in such a hurry. I'm like, Lord, I got to get this food to them. They're going to be waiting on me. We're going to run out of food. All these things running through my mind. I just had to relax. God said, you need to honor them. Just let them go. Let them take their time. Don't try. And I had an opportunity. I could have jumped right ahead because they said, is anyone ready to take their order? Yeah, have you ever seen those people who are like, go straight to the front of the line when they get an opportunity? I had that temptation. I was like, no, God. And God was saying, honor them. Honor them. You prioritize. There's a sentence I have right below the number one. It says, whatever is first is honored. Go and underline that first. Whatever is first is honored. So true. So true. There's many passages in Scripture about honor, but there's very few passages that tell you actually how to practically honor. There are very few times that where God gives very nuts and bolts to how to practically honor. You can kind of read between the lines, but as far as like really practical nuts and bolts how to, there are very few. But there's one area where God says, listen, this is how you're going to honor me. And this is God saying, this is how you honor me. And he says, with your possessions, with everything that you have, you honor me with that. That's a very interesting concept. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. What's that? All your stuff, all your belongings. And if we're going to give weight and value to God, then what we do is we in this area, and it's tough for a lot of people because, you know, the economy is not good, everyone's on tight budgets and stuff like that. But really, it's God is asking us out of our heart of love for God to put our faith in him, that he's our Jehovah Jireh, that he's our provider, that he's going to take care of our needs. And that's what the principle of the tithe is. It's not a way for churches to get rich, although that happens, and there's, you know, people have been burned by churches who kind of manipulate and twist. That's not our heart at all. If you know any of us, that's not our heart. We're not trying to manipulate people into giving money. What we're trying to do is position people to where they're going to be blessed by God, where in their heart, the scripture says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. If you're investing in the areas that God's asking to invest, and you're giving your first fruits to God and what he's doing on this earth, you're going to be blessed. And it's not when we feel like it or when we're manipulated emotionally or something like that. God forbid that it should ever happen in our church. It's not like that, but it's just a decision first. I love it. Lelaine put on my chair this morning our tithe check. I love that. Look at it right there. It says tithe check. You know, for some of you young people, a check is a piece of paper that you actually write on. It's a check. So many of us pay online. I mean, the younger generation, we pay online, you know, which you can do that on the church website. But there's something good about just writing a check out and just where your treasure is, there your heart is. And you're giving that tithe and honoring God from your heart, not out of obligation, but genuine love for God and trust in him. And God is more interested in the order that we do stuff, not the amount. Not the amount. God's more interested in the order, not the amount. I like the way the Message Bible puts it. Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. So true. He's worthy of that. He gave us his first and best, and that's Jesus Christ, his own son. That's why he says, listen, give me your first, your best. You'll have 90% of your income will be so blessed and go above and beyond what you can expect or ask. We live on a meager income, and I could just honestly attest, God gives us so much favor and grace when we just honor God in that way. And you're doing that right now. You're honoring God with your time. You're coming here on a Sunday morning, the first of the week, honoring God with your time, starting off your week right, honoring God. Do that in the morning time when you get up in the morning. I'm not a morning person. Lelaine knows that. She has a hard time getting me up out of bed. I'm just confessing to you this morning. But what I do is, I'll just kind of, as I'm trying to wake up, I just start praying. And I'll just start honoring God and just praying and thank you, Lord, for this day. It's a beautiful day. I know it is. And you're so. And I wake up again. God, you're so good to me. I just praise you, Lord. He knows my heart. And he knows my body, too. He knows what my body can handle. So I don't know. Maybe I'll ask some people who are morning people to give me some tips for how to just wake up in the morning. Anyway, but if you posture your heart in the morning time, you just first thing you think about, God, I love you. Thank you for this day. Okay, second thing we do to honor, if we're going to honor something, we praise it. We praise it. Praise it. Honor is a language. There's a language to it. There's a way you say stuff. It's praise. It's lifting people up. It's encouraging. It's just giving respect to people in words, through words. is the reason why I begin each message with honoring some people, because there's so much value in just speaking it, letting people know that you honor them, letting them know, let your wives know that you honor them, let your family know that you honor them, that you love them, praise them when they do stuff that's good, encourage them when they make mistakes, honor, honor with our words. The sentence I have for you is, our words either honor or dishonor. And it's true. They either build up or they tear down. I mean, if you've grown up in a home where you said you're nothing, where you heard you're nothing, you're not going to amount to anything, you're a mistake, you're an accident, those words just cut. They just cut, and it tears people down. Well, we want to have homes that say, you know what? You're made in the image and likeness of God. You're blessed. I'm so proud of you. I love you. Just thank you for being my son. Thank you for being my daughter. Thank you. I'm just so grateful for you. Honor. Honor. And really, it starts in the home, doesn't it? I mean, it's a struggle because you give your best at work. You know, you give your best and all your energy is at work. And then when you get home, you're just like, ah, you know, or maybe the stay-at-home moms, you know, they're like taking care of their kids all day and they just want their husband to come and just give them some honor. You know, it's like, and the husband's just, please let me just rest. My brain is fried. I just need to let it rest. Where's the ESPN? Where's SportsCenter? Okay. The challenge for us at home is to praise people with our lips and really give honor to people. Give honor to people. Let it flow out of our hearts. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? Yes. So out of the heart, you speak these words of honor. Thank you, Lord. And God doesn't want us to have any hypocrisy or duality in that. Really, like, be consistent in it. And ask God for help. You know, don't get beat up by this message, but be encouraged by this message. God, the Holy Spirit is there to help you to be able to get this if you don't practice it already. James chapter 3, verse 9 through 10 says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth, verse 10, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. So true, my brothers, this should not be. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says this, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only for what is helpful for building up others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I love this because this scripture, verse 30, is tied right into this. It's not a new thought starting. It's tied right into this concept of honor. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Have you ever just said something and you just go, you can't take those words back. Even scripture says that every idle word that we say will have to be held account to. God's going to judge every idle word that we speak. Ah, oh, Lord, help us. Help us, God. Just ask him. He will. He'll just fill you up with the words to say that are honoring. He will. Just ask him. Third thing we need to do to honor, if we're going to honor something, is we protect it. Protect it. Protect it. It's so true. Everything that is valuable gets protected. And that's what honor is. So you add value. You view something as valuable. Well, everything that you have valuable, you protect it, right? You protect it. You keep it safe. And I like this phrase, the more you value it, the more you value from it. It's true. The more you value it, the more you value from it. It's the concept of reaping and sowing. The more you honor, the more honor you get back in return. The more you value people, the more they're going to value you. It's very true. It's a very good concept. In fact, there's a really good example of this in Genesis, in the Old Testament. First book in the Bible, Genesis, and it's Noah. Usually people tell the story of Noah and the flood, and it's like, you know, they stop there. You know, yes, there's a flood. God spared Noah and his family. Cool. After the flood, the waters recede, of course. And they begin their lives. And Noah plants a vineyard. And he reaps his harvest of grapes. And he makes some wine. He gets drunk. He does something stupid. And he's naked in his tent, drunk, passes out. Not a good thing to do. He wasn't honoring his body in that situation at all. And he wasn't honoring God. But here's what happened. One of his sons comes in. And I can tell he's just laughing. Goes out, tells his brothers, mocking his dad. Telling him, that's in there, butt naked, man. He's passed out. He's drunk. Not honoring him. And the other two sons, they take like a blanket, and they back up into the tent, just one over on their shoulder, and they just back up, and they drape it over their father, and they cover up his nakedness. They just honored him that way. And the scripture says that the one who was mocking was cursed, and the one who honored, the two who honored, they were blessed. And generations were blessed because of them honoring. Wow. It's so true. Like, they protected the honor of their father. They protected his dignity, his value, his worth. I like John chapter 7 says this: he who speaks on his own, meaning who boasts, is like, hey, look at what I can do, I'm awesome, does so to get honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth, and there's nothing false about him. Oh, that's good. And that's what we want to do as a church. We want to work for the honor of the one who sent us, Jesus, right? We want to work for his honor. And really what we want to do is we want to protect the honor of God. We want to make sure that when people come into this church, they have an amazing experience. They feel the presence of God. We don't judge or criticize them. We love and accept them. We make them feel welcome and at home. We defend the honor of God by putting on an amazing church service every Sunday morning. Do you know that? We defend the honor of God because the world doesn't know God, and the only God that they really see is through us Christians, the light that we emit, right? God is not boring, is he?
No.
Should church be boring?
No.
Should not be. God's not lame or irrelevant, right? He's very relevant. Church should be the same way. Yeah. God is good, not evil. So whenever we hear someone who impugns God's nature, we need to say, you know what? God's good. Just remind him, God's good. I was reminded of, like, you know, Hurricane Katrina coming in, just the devastation in New Orleans. And I remember at that time, there were even some, without naming any names, there were some TV preachers who were just saying, you know, this was an act of God. God was judging New Orleans for all their debauchery and sin. I was thinking, I know some pretty good churches that are in New Orleans. Doesn't the Bible say the rain falls on the just and the unjust? We're talking about weather here. Weather. There's a curse on the planet. God's good. God's good. God's very good. And there are a lot of churches who came in and just shared the love of God with those people in that area. And that's what we have to be ready to do. Not say, all right, this is God's judgment on you. You deserved it. You reap what you sow. Bad application of that scripture right there. No. Not when you're dealing with whole communities like that. You can't throw out blanket statements like that. You honor people, you protect God. I mean, if we're going to honor God in that way, we protect his name, right? Protect his image. Us Christians, we have the opportunity to do that. We're the light of the world. So, and really that gets to my final point, is that we're called to be vessels of honor. It really does start with us in the church and in our homes and in our workplace, like the church, the body of Christ. We need to be vessels of honor. It's an amazing passage, and we're going to pretty much end with this concept, this passage, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Such a good concept. I want you guys to get this. Just meditate on this. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, right, but also wood and clay. What's that saying? Like, in a lot of homes you grow up, especially in the South, you have china in the china cabinet. No one eats off of that. That's for looking at. Am I right? Come on. How many of you? Only special occasions. Only, and then you're very delicate cleaning it, dusting it. I mean, you take care of your china. I remember growing up and going to my grandma's house, and I'd really want to open the china cabinet and just look at it. And she's like, don't open it. Don't open this. It's not for playing with. That's not for touching. What is it for? It's for looking at. What? It's for honor. And then you have paper plates. Right? You use them once, you throw them away. I'm done. Ketchup stains, mustard stains, I'm done. That goes in the trash. Put in some common vernacular for us this morning. Okay, some for honor, to keep them and display them, and some for dishonor, to throw them away. Verse 21. Therefore, catch this. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, what? From being dishonorable. Cleanses himself from what? From being trashy. Let's not be trashy people just letting anything come out of our mouths. Amen. If anyone cleanses himself, it's a choice that we make. Go to God and say, Lord, help me, cleanse me. You know, I make choices now, today, to watch what I say, to practice these things of honoring people and honoring you, God. that person will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Whew, that's an amazing promise that God gives us, prepared for every good work. There's so many things for us to do as the body of Christ, and we can only really do it when we're vessels of honor. Get that? That's the process. Then we're sanctified, we're set apart for God's purpose, his plan, for every good work that he prepares ahead of time for us. Let's ready ourselves, amen? Let it be said of Victory Church that we're a church of honor. Can we say that? Amen. Right? We're a church of honor. Yes. We honor people here. We set this atmosphere, we just honor people. And we don't have to share this message next year, do a whole sermon series on it, because it's already in our culture. We got it. We don't have to keep reminding us of it, because every morning we're just practicing it. Honor, honor, honor. And there's a principle that I want to share with you that really is foundational and is going to help you, because this is really the only way to get honor. I even have some phrases here that I just wrote down, because so there's one principle that we must learn. Every scripture of honor basically points to this one principle. We must learn this principle so we can truly have a culture of honor. What's this principle? I'm going to share four scripture passages. I could share a lot more, but there's four that I'm just going to do rapid fire. See if you can pick it up. Proverbs 15. The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Proverbs 18. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Proverbs 22. Humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Proverbs 29. A man's pride brings him low, but a man of lowly spirit gains honor. Lowly spirit gains honor. You can fill it in the blank. Humility is the key to honor. Humility is the key to honor. It really is. It's so true. It's just going, waking up each morning and just saying, you know what? I'm starting out low. A man flat on his face cannot fall. Right? It's a good saying. I didn't make it up. I heard it from a pastor. But it's true. Start out each day low. Everything and everyone is above you. Can we say that? Like, this morning, Lord, everything and everyone is above me. I'm just going to serve people today. I'm going to serve my family. I'm going to serve my spouse. I'm going to serve my kids. I'm going to serve my bosses. I'm going to love them and honor them. Even if they don't treat me well, I'm going to honor them. Honor them. I just say it each morning. I want to serve people. I want to honor people. Practically, how do we do that? That's what we do is we make a choice. And we pray these prayers, not my will, but your will be done, Lord. I choose to serve people today. I choose not to criticize. I choose to build people up with my words. I choose to. Humility is such an important thing. If you would bow your heads and let's just enter into a time of reflection and response to God. I want you to ask, just say this one sentence in your heart, in your mind. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to me right now? What are you trying to communicate to me through this message? Just take some time to listen. Thank you, Lord. Some of you here today need to make a decision about your relationship with God. Maybe you haven't come to the point where you have humbled yourself before God. And really, truly, real humility says, Lord, you take control. I follow you. Jesus, be my Lord. Take control. I humble myself and yield myself to you. That's the true essence of salvation is humility. Is humility. And the cool thing is when you humble yourself before God, he lifts you up. He lifts you up. He crowns you with loving kindness and he redeems your life from the pit when we humble ourselves before God. And maybe you gave your life to God in the past and today you know you took your, over many years, you took your life back. And really you've been just making decisions for yourself and you know you haven't really relinquished total control of your life to God. If either of those applies to you, I just want to encourage you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I promise not to embarrass you. I promise not to call you up. The only thing I ask, if either one of those two apply to you, will you raise your hand right now? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. You can lower your hand now. We're going to pray this prayer and everyone join in and help them. Heavenly Father, I humble myself before you now. I give you control of my life. I'm not going to try to call the shots anymore. I put my trust in you. Forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your love and your presence, your spirit. Be my friend. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give you my all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.